Manchester City edged a thrilling end-to-end Champions League encounter at Real Madrid. Arsenal scored stunners to get past Club Brugge and make it 6 wins from 6. Juve, Benfica, Ajax and Copenhagen picked up victories too, while Germany saw a couple of thrilling 2-2 draws in Dortmund and Leverkusen. Look, there's so much to get into on the official UEFA Champions League podcast. Hello, I'm Rod Daly. I'm delighted to say I'm joined by European football expert Andy Brassel and our match commentator for Madrid-Manchester City, John Bradley, where we're seeing Real Madrid players on the pitch being interviewed right now and City players, Andy, celebrating with that away end.
Yeah, they are, and they deserve to, Rob. They've been fantastic, and after that defeat against Leverkusen in the last match day, this was a terrific recovery. You could argue it was the perfect hangover cure, really. The ultimate challenge away at Real Madrid in the Bernabeu, and they responded. They responded really well after a difficult start to the game, and it's catapulted them firmly into the top eight, which has been their aim all along.
Great response after losing to Bayer Leverkusen, of course, and they wanted a statement performance and a statement victory, and they certainly provided that. The fifth meeting in the last 6 years of these two sides, of course, the last few have been at the business end of the Champions League season. We knew it would be a titanic tussle between these two absolute heavyweights of this competition, and so it proved to be the case, and Manchester City will feel that they came here and fully deserved the victory. My goodness, did Xabi Alonso's side make them work hard for it.
Let's run through tonight's results then. Bayer Leverkusen 2, Newcastle United 2, Dortmund 2, Bodo Glimt 2, Benfica 2, Napoli 0, Club Brugge 0, Arsenal 3, Athletic Club 0, Paris Saint-Germain 0, Juventus 2, Paphos 0, Karabag 2, Ajax 4, Villarreal 2, Copenhagen 3. But let's start with that frantic encounter between Real Madrid and Manchester City. Here's how it sounded with Andy and John.
Bellingham is driving, he's got Rodrigo out to the right hand side, the ball reaches Rodrigo now, he's away from Nico Arani, goes for goal and finds it beautifully. Oh, that's a classy breakaway from Real Madrid, and the finish was quite simply stunning. Real Madrid 1, Manchester City 0.
It's a brilliant finish into the far corner, and he definitely meant it.
Six Manchester City players wait for the delivery. It's met and fired home from the rebound. It's O'Reilly who turns it home. It was Guardiola who met the initial corner, headed it down. It hit Courtois. He didn't really have time to respond. And Nico O'Reilly, from a couple of metres out, just toe-pokes the ball home into the back of the net. And Manchester City score with their first attempt on goal in the game. It's Real Madrid 1, Manchester City 1. What a comeback, what an answer from Manchester City.
Yeah, and it's a great, great climb from Guardiola. Above Jude Bellingham, Nico O'Reilly responds.
Haaland against Courtois, and he scores. He sent the goalkeeper the wrong way, Courtois to the right, the ball goes the other way. There's hardly a celebration from Erling Haaland. What it is, though, is a goal for Manchester City. It's his fifth of the Champions League season. It's Real Madrid 1, Manchester City 2.
And it would stay that way, despite an extraordinary second half. Graham Hunter, our reporter at the game, said a monumental match. Not only have Manchester City won, but they've coped with arguably Madrid's most dynamic, intense and consistent performance of the season. And look, we'll go back to the first half, John, where all the goals came, in truth.
It's crazy, really, because the second half was actually, you could almost argue, better than the first in terms of the drama and the intensity of it. Real Madrid nearly got in front inside the first couple of minutes. He thought they had a penalty. Valverde, the challenge deemed on the edge of the box, and Valverde's free kick deflected just wide. And then they sort of, as heavyweights tend to in these sort of games, they scrapped for the right to play. Real Madrid got on top. They got the goal. Lovely flowing move. Alvaro Carreras had a super game for Real Madrid at left back and made a brilliant run. Bellingham helping it on, and wonderfully finished by Rodrigo. Manchester City found a way back into the game. A set piece, good header by Guardiola, saved by the goalkeeper, but couldn't hold it, turned home by Nico O'Reilly. And then you get the penalty a couple of minutes before half-time, and you wait to see what drama could unfold in the second half. I didn't think we expected the level of drama that we did. We could have, I mean, it could have finished five apiece, really, with the amount of chances we had. And Thibaut Courtois made one astonishing save when the ball was deflected right in front of him, and somehow he managed to claw the ball back from almost in the goal. And at the other end, Donnarumma made a couple of great saves. Bellingham missed a great chance. Endricks hit the bar, and that's just a tiny portion of what we saw in a truly captivating football match.
Let's hear from Nico O'Reilly on his goal for 1-1.
Yeah, very special. Over the moon with it. This goal will be with me forever. But yeah, as I said, the most important thing was the 3 points, and that's what we got. Yeah, I'm loving it. I'm just taking it all in my stride. Every game as it comes, working out every session. And yeah, I'm enjoying it. I'm loving it.
Yeah, Kylian Mbappe on the bench tonight for Real Madrid did not come on in the end. But O'Reilly part of a Manchester City backline that really withstood plenty of Real Madrid attacking talent.
Yeah, they're outstanding. And I think you can really tell the difference that Manchester City's defensive efforts make, because they just didn't give up any easy shots or any easy efforts on goal to Real Madrid. I think if you look at the fact that Real Madrid had a lot more efforts at goal, but Manchester City had a lot more on target. You know, we're not really talking about Gigi Donnarumma, because really he didn't have that much to do. And whereas it's the opposite with Thibaut Courtois, he had to make save after save after save, particularly in the second half when Manchester City really accelerated and moved to try and kill the game. And it was Courtois who kept Real Madrid in it for that final push that could have led to them snatching a point.
It was the blocks, wasn't it? Vardiol made four or five brilliant blocks and defensive headers away to stop balls going into the penalty area. Special mention as well to Matheus Nunes, who I thought was absolutely brilliant at right back for Manchester City tonight. Remember, he's been converted into that position by Pep Guardiola. He did play there a couple of times previously at Wolves, but had a really, really super game defensively. And
I think you have to say Nico Gonzalez as well, yeah. Because bear in mind that, you know, here is a footballer who was bred to take on Real Madrid in La Masia in the Barcelona Academy. And if you look at the lineup that Pep Guardiola picked, I mean, it was a very, very attacking lineup. And that left Nico Gonzalez with a lot of heavy lifting. He stood up to it.
Okay, more on this game later on as it finishes Real Madrid 1, Manchester City 2. Let's turn our attention to Bayer Leverkusen 2, Newcastle 2. Anthony Gordon actually scored Newcastle's equaliser for 1-1 from the penalty spot at the time, and he's delighted with the way they came out fighting in the second half.
We dug in really well first half an hour, we were really poor, but the reaction was really good. I thought second half we come out well, manager gave us a bit of kick up the backside and we reacted well. Got the two goals, and then it was a lovely bit of quality from there. It was a great goal, but I think defensively, all comes back to mentality. I think we've got to be strong. We've got to hold off in them games, because the top teams do.
Well, Leverkusen actually took the lead through a Bruno Guimaraes own goal, where he failed to deal with a nod back across the face of goal from Robert Andrich. Gordon level from the spot. Luis Miley for 2-1, and then the Alex Grimaldo strike 2 minutes from time. He was an injury doubt ahead of the game, Grimaldo, but started and got that brilliant equalising goal on 88 minutes. And this was a thrilling end-to-end game, Andy. Either side could have won it.
Yeah, so exciting, and a brilliant second half from that man, Anthony Gordon, scoring one, creating one, hitting the post. He was an absolute menace to Bayer Leverkusen.
5-5 in the Champions League now,
and
for him as well.
As you say, has been great in the Champions League this season. But funnily enough, I think we know how much the Bayer Leverkusen team has changed in the last little while. We know how tough it's been really for Kasper Hjulmand, the new coach, to build this team of very talented players, but very unfamiliar players on the fly. But if we're thinking on a night when we've been talking about Xabi Alonso's Real Madrid, that equalising goal that Anthony Gordon was praising there by Bayer Leverkusen, it was straight out of the Alonso Leverkusen playbook. The fact that they scored so many late goals under Alonso.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But it was never
the title.
It was never hammering it into the penalty box. It was just play until a chance presents itself. It was a great move. The final pass from Ibrahim Mazza, who was absolutely outstanding in the win at Manchester City last time out, for Grimaldo. And I know it's a shock for Grimaldo to score A, right-footed, and B, not from a free kick. But shows what a great player he is for them still.
Newcastle on to 10 points with their points, and Bayer Leverkusen trying to recover some of those early disappointing results in the Champions League. They are on to 9 points after this draw in Germany. We'll stay there as well. Yellow and black were very much the colours of choice at the BFL Beichstadion tonight, with Bodø/Glimt the visitors to Dortmund.
It's opened up perhaps here, and it's 2-2! It's Jens Petter Hauge! Bodø/Glimt bag one late on. They've kept on fighting, and they've been rewarded.
Mark Scott on commentary there. Yes, twice Dortmund led. Julian Brandt with both goals. They levelled before half-time. Alassami's header. And then Jens Petter Hauge with the goal. 15 minutes of time. They just do not know when they're beat, do they, Bodø/Glimt? They keep getting results like this.
No, absolutely, Rob. And, you know, if you think of where they've been in the UEFA Europa Conference League and the UEFA Europa League, obviously getting to the semi-finals last year, it's been a gradual step up to this level for them. And of course it's a big step up from the Europa League to the Champions League. We all know that. But I have to say, if you look at where they are after 6 games, the points total doesn't really tell how intrepid Bodø/Glimt have been, how good they've been, and really they've gone and shown it to the world tonight. And the fight and the fortitude in coming back and getting that point is well deserved.
Worth noting that Bodø/Glimt prior to this game had had 2-2 draws with Tottenham Hotspur and Slavia Prague already in the league phase. And Jens Petter Hauge, former Bundesliga player with Frankfurt, had been ill in the lead up to the game. They had to keep him away from the rest of the squad. On the off chance he was fit enough to play, he starts and gets the goal. That's what the Champions League is all about. Let's go to Belgium next. Arsenal have been the pace setters in the league phase. A perfect record from their opening 5 matches. And on match day 6, they look to continue that run as they travelled to Brugge.
Martinelli away from CK. Martinelli! Just a joyous strike from Gabriel Martinelli, finding the top corner and continuing this red-hot Champions League streak he's on. That's 5 in a row now in this competition.
Yeah, he's in super form. A lovely goal as he cut in from the left-hand side to whip it into the top corner to make it 3-0 to the Gunners in Belgium after 2 Nonny Madueke goals. The first, a stunner, picking up the ball near halfway, driving for the box and smashing it in off the bar. Another positive result in the Champions League for Arsenal, Andy.
Yeah, and we saw the real depth of Arsenal this evening. So many changes made by Mikel Arteta after some tough, really physically exacting games recently. And they're brilliant. You know, there's no doubt about it. Club Brugge have made it difficult for a lot of good sides in the UEFA Champions League, but Arsenal ground them down and were clinical when they got the chances. And, you know, you talked early on about maybe that was the goal of the night, even at such an early stage from Nonny Madueke. Well, they almost had their own goal of the night competition, Arsenal amongst themselves, didn't they?
I do think I got that right, even though I got called out for trying to call that.
You did.
It's fair play. But what I would say about Arsenal that impresses me the most is the weight of expectation on them this season as Premier League leaders and trying to end that long, long wait for a Premier League title, to perform like they are in the Champions League as well, to the level they're reaching at home and in Europe, I think is really, really impressive. I think it shows the recruitment that they did in the summer was outstanding, and they seem to be working everything right now. Now, what we always know about the UEFA Champions League, and we used to talk about this when, of course, we still had the group phase as it was in the many groups, that the best team in the autumn normally changes to Real Madrid when we get to February or March. So there's still a long way to go in the competition, but my goodness, Arsenal looked threatening in this competition and in the Premier League, and that, you know, beyond their wildest expectation.
No Gabriel, Havertz, Mosquera, Saliba, Trossard, Dalman or Rice on the night. They had Saka and Eze on the bench. But John, quickly, Gabriel Jesus makes his return after 11 months out, and that does give them another attacking option. Hit the bar, nearly scored on his return after that ACL injury.
Yeah, any side would miss him. Remember Manchester City's previous victory in the Bernabeu came when Gabriel Jesus was a scorer some 5 years ago. And for him to return for the second half of the season only adds more firepower and more weight to an already burgeoning forward line. So, you know, really positive. Great to see him because he's a really good player. He's also a really good guy as well. So great to see him back, and I hope he stays injury free.
Six wins from six for Arsenal. Let's go to Turin next, where Juventus really had to grind it out but managed to get their 2-0 win against Paphos in the end. Let's hear from Jonathan David, who's on the score sheet for the Bianconeri, about the club's aims in this competition.
Target is to go as far as possible. I don't think we can put limits. I think right now we are in a good position. We still have two important games after December. We have two important games to finish strong the group phase. So I think it's about to get try to get two wins out of those two games, and after we see where we finish.
The thoughts of Jonathan David there. Weston McKennie had actually put them ahead into the second half. If I look at the results that Paphos have had in the Champions League this season, they drew with Monaco last time out, beaten Villarreal, drawn with Kairat and Olympiacos. They'd only lost to Bayern prior to tonight. That looks a good result on paper from Juventus, really, Andy.
Really good. And I think when you look at how the game unfolded as well, Rob, Paphos were really difficult for Juventus in the first half. They created a lot of chances. Juventus had to defend really well and fight hard to keep that clean sheet. A couple of good saves from Michele Di Gregorio as well. And then they really stepped it up after the break. And I think the benches were really the difference in that game. That extra bit of freshness when Francisco Conceição came on in the second half, he really stretched the game and made it difficult for Paphos, who were limited to the amount of substitutes that they could include tonight.
Paphos on 6 points, by the way. They are still 26th in the standings and might well be hoping to squeak into the top 24 in that additional knockout playoff round, as will Athletic Club. They move on to 5 points tonight, Andy, after a draw with the holders. Paris Saint-Germain has finished goalless there, and we could see from the celebrations at Saint Mamés with the players that was a really appreciated performance and result from Athletic Club in Bilbao.
Yeah, Athletic have had a tough season so far. I think if you look at the injuries that they've suffered, they're really stretched defensively at the start of the season. Then you had the injuries to the forward players, which limited their chances of taking more points from the earlier games in this league phase. Absences of Nico Williams, Oihan Sanset, who have both returned now. And to give a really good account of yourself tonight, as they did against the holders, is something of enormous pride, especially to do that in front of their own fans at the San Mamés. A great embrace as well from two old La Liga rivals and former Barcelona coaches in Ernesto Valverde and Luis Enrique.
I was with them in pre-season when they played at Liverpool, and they played back-to-back friendlies at Liverpool, and they were so looking forward to the Champions League campaign and the injuries that they got to the key players at such a critical time. Really did set them back. Great to see them back now, and hopefully they can kick on over the last couple of games, because they were so excited about the challenge of the Champions League and getting back in and really mixing it that they just got a bit of rod and luck at the wrong time. But I mean, for anyone who goes to the San Mamés, I mean, it is one of the great venues of football anywhere in the world.
Impressive to keep up Paris Saint-Germain as well, bearing in mind they've been free scoring in the competition and got five against Spurs on match day five. There's one more late kickoff to look at, and that is Benfica 2 Napoli 0, a meeting of the former Chelsea, Tottenham Hotspur and Inter Milan coaches in Jose Mourinho and Antonio Conte. It was the former who came out on top. Let's hear from Benfica striker Franjo Ivanovic after the 2-0 victory on their performance tonight and his personal relationship with Mourinho.
I just work hard in the training. We speak every day about football, but not especially now about the starting 11, so everything is good. Maybe one of the best games this season, yes, because we played as a collective good. We fight really good, and we played with character.
So Benfica 2, Napoli 0, and one man, Andy, was crucial in this game, scoring one and then making one for the hosts in Lisbon.
Yeah, Richard Rios getting the opener and then setting up the second for Leandro Barreiro. Brilliant performance from him, so full of energy. And if you go back to when he was at Palmeiras, his previous club, of course, they went deep into the FIFA Club World Cup. Then he came straight to Europe to adapt to European football. Benfica played their qualifiers. They've been going for a long time in this competition already. And you're looking at someone who has settled really well, and the energy of him to really lead his team forward. And, you know, Napoli needed the points tonight. There's absolutely no doubt about that. But I think they really took strength from that home defeat against Leverkusen, in which they were unlucky. They were edged out by that Patrick Schick goal. But Jose Mourinho said, look, we were the better team here, and we're improving in this UEFA Champions League, and we can still do something from here. And I think you look at that performance and then the result that followed that at Ajax, a game that they really needed to win, that has propped them up. They're in with a chance of this 24 now.
You get the feeling that Jose's still got a bit to say in this UEFA Champions League season, because not many teams will want to take on Jose's team when they're playing like that, will they?
Napoli on 7 points, Benfica on 6. It's really tight around the lower places, around 24th, just edging into that knockout round. Still to come on the podcast, we'll take a look back on tonight's early matches.
Take control of your own team of stars with UEFA Champions League Fantasy Football, presented by PlayStation. With incredible prizes up for grabs every match day, download the official Champions League app to get playing.
Yeah, time to turn our attention to the two early matches that took place in the UEFA Champions League, which both featured teams hoping to keep their knockout hopes alive. Ajax travelled to Baku to face Karabag, while Villarreal welcomed Copenhagen to La Cerámica.
All the goalkeepers committed! Camilo Duran has beaten him! A super finish on the Colombian, and Karabag making a splash in the Champions League again tonight. Oscar Gluck scores for 2-2, creeps beyond Yaros. Ajax back there again, where they were, on level terms, two apiece. Konadu and Tongai for 3-2. And Ajax have waited for a moment like this all season. What character from the Dutch team. For the first time in the whole night, they lead. And that will do it for Ajax. 1-0 and 2-1 down. And now 4-2 up in Baku.
Danes settling into a nice early rhythm here. This is Lopez with a cross. Big chance, early goal. El Yunusi timed his run perfectly. The cross from Lopez was a delight. And a little over a minute gone at the Estadio de la Cerámica in Spain. To the delight of the travelling fans, it's Villarreal 0, FC Copenhagen 1. Under pressure, and it's a fine goal. Tani Oluwaseyi. Villarreal 2, FC Copenhagen 2. Long-range effort. Oh, and it's going to drop to Cornelius! And FC Copenhagen have surely won it here. Andreas Cornelius wears the broader smile inside the Estadio de la Cerámica. Third time they've led this evening. Full time, Villarreal 2, FC Copenhagen 3.
Yeah, that Cornelius goal coming in the 90th minute. They were made to take the lead three times on the night. But the Danish side got the job done. What a victory, despite Villarreal's best efforts. Let's hear from UEFA Player of the Match, Mohamed El Yunusi, who scored Copenhagen's first.
It was always going to be a tough match for us coming here. We know that Villarreal has been really good recently, in good form, number 3 in La Liga. So we knew we had to be perfect. And today we showed a lot of courage with the ball, the intensity, aggressivity without the ball. And of course, you need a bit of luck as well. When you have a goalie who is on fire today, who stops a lot of saves, and a good third goal that gave us the win.
Yeah, it certainly helps. And Copenhagen 24th, so just inside those knockout playoff positions after that victory. They're on 7 points now. Meanwhile, Ajax came from behind twice before eventually taking the lead into the closing stages of their game away at Karabag. Let's hear from player of the match, Oster Glock, after his brace in the closing stages helped Ajax claim that victory and a first one in the Champions League this season.
We started with the early goal of them, but I think the team performance was really good. And our goals was really nice, and it's exactly what we trained before. We knew our counter-attacks will decide the game, and I'm happy about this win, and I hope to continue to win, and maybe we will have a chance to qualify. Yeah. I think the only chance that we need to win the other two games, and it's possible, and if we continue to play like this, everything is possible.
Yeah, they're still 34th in the standings, having picked up their first win in the competition tonight. They scored one goal prior to tonight and then get four in one game. But what will this result mean to Ajax, Andy, to have won this match?
A lot. I think it's a matter of pride. Last team to get a point in this competition, of course, this season, which is remarkable given their illustrious history in the competition down the years. And we know it's been a tough season for Ajax. But I guess this is the feeling of something turning. You know, you look at the opening goal by Kasper Dolberg, and what a great strike that was in his second spell at the club. And maybe this can be his moment. He came back to Ajax for a reason, to really contribute, and he probably wouldn't have started if it wouldn't have been for Wout Weghorst getting injured at the weekend at Fortuna Sittard, but really staking his claim. And for players like him and Anton Gay, with that brilliant third goal that put them in front,
yeah, super
for the first time, great for them to make a contribution.
For Karabakh, they're still inside the playoff positions despite that defeat, 22nd with 7 points to their names. Let's have a quick recap of who's in the top eight at the moment. That would mean going directly into the round of 16. Arsenal top, of course, with their 6 wins from 6. They've scored 17. They've conceded once. Bayern behind them on 15 points. Then there's a group of teams on 13 points. Paris Saint-Germain, despite their 0-0 draw at Athletic Club. Manchester City, thanks to their victory in Madrid. And Atalanta as well, after their success over Chelsea on Tuesday night. Then Inter, Real Madrid and Atletico are all on 12 points inside the top 8. Along with Liverpool, who were just outside it, on goal difference. Let's take things back to our featured commentary today and hear from Manchester City boss Pep Guardiola, who thinks tonight's win at the Bernabeu was a hard-fought victory.
Sometimes when you play, you find a goal. Sometimes you find a goal, and after you find the game or the way you have to play. And until the goal we scored, they were much better. We could not control. We try to have the ball, but not with intention to be aggressive with that, and they defend so deep. And every time we lose the ball, they punish us, especially with Rodrigo, many, many times. Second half was much, much better. And at the end, I think was good to score a goal because it helped us a little bit to be there. Jeremy was outstanding today, and many of them. Good experience for us being here, for many new players coming for the first time in this stadium. Everybody feel the pressure that to do it, and will be a good lesson for the future, because that level is not required enough to compete until later stages, but maybe in February will be better than today.
Pep Guardiola there speaking there after Real Madrid 1, Manchester City 2. John Bradley, our commentator for the match, is with us. John, do you want to pick an outstanding player, performer? Difficult one, because there were many very good individual performances and good collective ones too.
No, it's quite easy.
Oh, fine.
You have to give it Nico O'Reilly for his first ever Champions League goal. He's got a couple of assists before today, but to score his first goal, a homegrown player for Manchester City in the Bernabeu to get them back into the game, and he was outstanding defensively, had a super game, scored his first goal. Got to give it to him.
Andy, from the other games, 8 other matches on Wednesday night in the Champions League, can you pick an outstanding performer, one or two even, if you like?
Inspired by you, Rob, I'm going to go for Jens-Petter Hauge immediately, rising from his sick bed to get his equaliser. And of course, for those Bodø/Glimt fans who were flying that banner Borussia Dortmund,
that's
saying
fair.
This is the real yellow wall.
That's fair. But a quick honourable mention, by the way, we did mention it when we discussed the game, Unai Simon of Athletic Club, and a brilliant performance between the posts against Paris Saint-Germain, because even though they were without Ousmane Dembele on the night, they only had Désiré Doué on the bench, he made a string of brilliant saves, and sure enough he was the player of the match for that one in Bilbao. Gents, thank you very much for your company after another dramatic night in the UEFA Champions League. John Bradley and Andy Brassel alongside me for Real Madrid 1, Manchester City 2. And don't forget, You can download the official UEFA Champions League podcast shortly after every single match night in this season's competition. So many thrilling stories. Borussia Dortmund 2, Bodo Glimt 2. Arsenal's 3-0 victory at Club Brugge to maintain their 100% record. Benfica getting past Napoli. The early victories in the day as well for the likes of Copenhagen and Ajax. Matchday Live will be back in the new year, but until then, from me, Rob Daly, and the rest of the team, it's goodbye.
You've been listening to the official UEFA Champions League podcast.